CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Enlightened philosophers tell us that we are divine beings in human form. Let's get real here. How can we live a busy life with a job, kids, and a mortgage and still be spiritual? Join CJ Liu as she tackles real life issues through a spiritual lens and talks with experts in relationships, work, and more. You'll get practical life skills and learn how to touch, feel, and experience a whole new way of living. Be a force for good. And fire it up with CJ. Log on fireitupwithcj.com and call CJ now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
Welcome back to Fired Up with CJ. We're here live on CBS Sky Radio, New Horizons, No Boundaries. And today we have a great guest. But before we get to the guest, I want to let you know that you can find CJ at her website. It's fireitupwithcj.com. You can also follow her on Facebook, same name, Fired Up with CJ, and there you can find upcoming events, guest schedules, and just connect with CJ. So I wanted to let you know that. And if you also have any questions about our guest today, you can call us at 248-545-7685. And how are you, CJ?
Hey, great. Happy holidays, Cassandra.
Oh, it's getting here, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's been, we're pre-recording a show, but I was listening to, it's right now, right before Thanksgiving, and they're already starting to play Christmas music on the radio. And you know what? I'm listening to it, and I kind of enjoy it. I know I shouldn't be. There's part of me that's like, I shouldn't fall into this trap, but I'm kind of digging it.
You know, it's a little soothing. Yeah, it gets you in the mood for it. I've started Christmas shopping, not a lot, but a little bit, trying to figure out things. We're trying to make it a year that it's not about the quantity, about the quality. My kids are getting older. It's really hard as they get older. Things are more expensive. And I want to make it count. And it's really hard to make it count.
I know it's hard as the kids get older because they kind of value the gifts based on money, which is awful.
Yeah.
Or not, you know what I mean? It's like, and the gifts that they value are really expensive.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard. It's hard. Well, we're doing a pre-record for both Christmas and New Year's. And so everyone is probably in the either right in the middle of Christmas or thinking and contemplating their New Year's. And so the wonderful part during this time of the year is that it's a transition period. And I always view transitions as opportunities to rethink the year and figure out how we want the next year to occur. And typically, especially during this time, right after crazy Christmas, we've spent a lot of time over striving, forcing, making life happen, and actually being in a really chaotic place. And so our next guest suggests that instead of overstriving, forcing, and making life happen, that we move towards a world in which we lie back and let the life currents carry us along. And that sounds pretty good right now. So Jennifer Loudon offers her newest book, The Life Organizer, to those who want to explore a more heart-based approach to living life this next coming year. So welcome, Jennifer.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thank you so much.
So I know it's a pre-record, but what do you imagine are the questions that you're going to be contemplating as the holidays, you know, during the holiday season and as we transition to the new year?
Well, I want to confess, the holidays are hard for me. My dad's gone, and my mom has Alzheimer's. Mm. And so I kind of dread going through the holidays, and I don't like that. That immediately sets me up to be unhappy, and my daughter picks up on it, and my stepson. So I have a question that I'm contemplating. What would love do here? Mm. What would, you know, to really find love in those moments when the teenagers are sleeping until one, or when we don't have those holiday traditions anymore because so much of our family is scattered or dead.
Mm.
So what would love do here? And then another one is this teaching me what I want to learn? You know, because I want to learn how to love. I want to learn how to be present more and more every moment. And if I'm getting all scroogey about the holidays, it's not teaching me what I want to learn. And the other thing I do, you're talking about gifts, is then I go out and I go, oh my God, I have to buy everybody everything so that they'll be happy. That is a horrible thing, because then I'm stressed and I'm worried about money, and I feel like I'm perpetuating not that connection that we want, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's funny because I think, and I'm not a religious person, but, you know, we're celebrating Jesus, right, the birth of Jesus, and isn't that all about love? And somehow we forget what the whole purpose of Christmas is. It is about love. So I think the questions of, you know, what would happiness feel like right now? And where does love fit in here are just beautiful questions. I mean, as you've kind of, I know it's, we're doing a pre-record, but as you contemplate that, have you come up with any ahas or what are your answers today? And I know they'll probably change over time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I loved contemplating this. Thank you for asking me this before we go into this time. I saw many scenarios go through my head when my mom was annoying me. My mom has Alzheimer's and she also tends to drink too much. And so that really triggers me. Mm-hmm. And I could see a moment like that around the Christmas dinner or other events in the coming weeks, and just, mm-hmm. you know, what would love do here? And just kind of softening my body and my judgments of everybody. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, softening into missing my dad and letting that be okay, instead of that story of, why isn't my dad still alive? My dad, just, you know, that kind of place that we go when we're very mm-hmm. childlike. Mm-hmm. I can imagine being more creative about how we connected as a family. You know, mm-hmm. we can't play games with mom anymore because she can't follow them, but I could maybe get out games with the kids still, even though they're late teens about to be in their 20s. You know, it just opened up my creativity mm-hmm. instead of this, I have to get through the next weeks.
Yeah. It's hard. I mean, I can totally understand. And I think actually the thing in that you bring to bear is that Christmas and New Year's and Thanksgiving, they all have all these memories and family dynamics that mm-hmm. some of which are great and some of which are not so great, right? Like your uncle or aunt or mom who drinks too much or says things that make you unhappy.
Right. And the politics are different.
Exactly.
Or, yeah, the religion. Yeah.
Exactly. Or just imagine grinding your teeth and like, okay, let's talk about something else. But I think actually what's great is almost in some ways pre-anticipating those conversations. One of the things that they do in neuro-linguistic programming, NLP, is they imagine you future pacing. So you imagine as if you're already there and you kind of go all the way to the end. So, I mean, then this is what you're doing already is you're future pacing. Okay, then when mom does that, then we're going to do this game. And then, which I think is excellent. Same thing with New Year's, which is the show is going to be broadcasting. It's just thinking about all those things as your future pacing about what that event will be like and what the future will be. And you're imagining as if it were happening right now. So let's go into planning. So when you actually do your planning, because your whole book is called The Life Organizer, and it's a very different way of planning. It's not kind of the traditional way that we think of planning. So what is your life planning going to be like for the next year?
I want to say that I love my book and I use it, and I also use my Google Calendar. So I think it's important to hold both. And the reason this book has been developed over 15 years and it's been in so many different forms, and it was to bring in the heart, the intuition, the tracking of what's most important to you, because in the Google Calendar, in our planner life, that's important, but it can squeeze out all the juicy stuff. Mm-hmm. So I want both. I'm all about wholeness, and as I get older, trying to be about wholeness. So anyway, so for me, I've learned to get down to a couple of personal and a couple of professional intentions for the year. If I have too many, I lose it all. So it's got to be simple, and then I got to keep checking in with them using the tools in the book. And so I'm leaning into those by asking myself, what am I yearning to experience in 2014?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right? Instead of achieve, because I immediately go to that overdriving place, right? Okay,
right.
I'll get all my ducks in a row, and I'll sell 1,000
right.
millions of copies of my book. And more peace. I want to experience, I'm newly married. I want to just keep loving Bob and opening to that. I want to experience more connection with the people I help.
Mm-hmm.
And then what am I yearning to give expression to? Thinking about writing a new book, it's starting to come. Like, what am I yearning to give expression to? What retreats might I lead? What programs might I create?
Mm-hmm.
And then the third plan is what might get in my way.
A tactical plan to destroy all that gets in the way. You know what I love about that is that, you know, there, and when you read a lot of spiritual talks, I talk about doing and being. And I think a life in which you're just doing all the time, which I'm on a sabbatical right now, which I know my life as a sabbatical looks like a normal person's life, but I'm kind of slowing down and taking long periods during the day when I read and I contemplate life. And I'm asking a lot of the questions that you already have in your book. And I got to tell you, I'm understanding now the merits of rest and renewal. I didn't understand it at first. People were always like, rest, rest, rest. But now I kind of get it. You need to have both the doing and the being. And I love some of the questions. And I love the idea of what are you yearning to experience this next year? Love it. So we have Jennifer Lott in here. Oh, we have time for one more question. So the next question I have, we only have two more minutes, but the next question I have was, how do you balance? So you have your Google Calendar, and then you also have your book. So you're managing both doing and being in a heart-based world as well as one that's a mind-based world. How are you able to manage them? Do you have any tips on how to navigate the two?
You have to know which one is your default. So your default is doing and, you know, going full steam and being really successful. So then you have to be aware, ooh, this being phase, this listening to my heart, this checking in, that's going to be harder for me. And when I get stressed or when there's a deadline, I'm going to override that. I'm going to forget about it. It's going to go in the back of the closet with the clothes I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to know your default, and then you have to build in ways to keep reminding yourself, whether it's post-it notes that surprise you in odd places. Have you checked in with yourself? We're going to be launching an app any day now, so that would be good for someone like you who might use technology to remind yourself to check in. Other people that might be having a copy of the book around and just moving it around into different parts of your life. That book in a while, right?
You know, nowadays I actually, my phone, whenever I hear, you know, because my phone is beeping and buzzing and binging and making all sorts of noises all throughout the day. So, and it's kind of like those bongs. You ever heard those clocks that go bong and they kind of remind you to be present? And I don't carry around those the whole thing, you know, during the day, or, and I'm not home the whole day to remember those kind of things. But I just listen to my phone, and when I hear the bell, I'm like, okay, time to focus. Time to pay attention.
It's like the meditation, if you're on a meditation retreat and they ring a gong or a bell, and that
exactly.
is exactly right. So you can use technology to come back and just ask. Just take a breath and feel your feet, feel your bottom against the chair, feel something in your body, and just let yourself relax for a moment. Even that will begin to help you orient this being more into your life.
All right, so we have Jennifer Lawton here, the author of The Life Organizer, a heartfelt-based approach to planning your year. And in the next segment, we're going to be going a little bit more deeply into how do you actually plan so that you have both sacred and practical time management. We'll be right back.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Now back to Fire It Up with CJ. Be a force for good. And fire it up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com. And call CJ now.
248-545-7685.
On CBS Radio's The Sky. The Sky.
Welcome back to Fire It Up with CJ. Today we have Jennifer Lawton, author of The Life Organizer, on the show with us. And if you'd like to get more information on our guest, you can go to fireitupwithcj.com and scroll down on today's show, and you can find more information on our guest. You can also follow CJ on her Facebook. It's Fire It Up with CJ, same name as her website, and you can follow her there and get in contact with her. And right now, we're going to go right back to CJ and our guest, Jennifer Lawton.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Fire It Up with CJ Show, and happy holidays, everyone. We're doing a pre-record today, but we are going to be talking about some tools that you can use throughout the new year coming up. And in the previous segment, we were talking about Jennifer's plans and how someone who thinks very much about balancing doing and being what her Christmas and New Year's are going to look like. And in this section, we're going to be talking about diving that into a little bit more deeply. So you know those days when you feel like you don't have enough time to do anything, life is an utter chaos, and you just feel kind of lost, confused, but you have so much to do that you can't think about it? Well, yeah, that's every day for me. No. So Jennifer, that actually was every day for me in my previous, before my sabbatical, where I was rushing around all the time with no time to contemplate. And Jennifer has 5 steps in her book, The Life Organizer: tips, stories, prompts to focus your needs and navigate your dreams. It's a heart-based approach to living. And I was wondering, Jennifer, and welcome, Jennifer, welcome back.
Thanks.
So tell me, what are the 5 steps that are in your book?
I have to tell everybody, it takes longer to describe them than it does to do them.
Okay.
So before you all start to go, oh my God, I am never going to do any of this, I want you to know that those crazy moments that you were just so beautifully and insanely just like describing made me just like, oh, start to have anxiety attacks. When we're in them, our nervous system and our less developed, our reptile brain, the oldest part of our brain, is hijacking us. And we literally can't make the choices and the decisions that we need to make because the more higher or developed parts of our brain are not available to us, are like offline. And so this 5 steps get those parts of our brain online, and they get our heart brain, the 40,000 plus neurons in our heart, hooked up to our cranium brain. So you're doing something for yourself that you need to do if you're going to regain that calm and that ability to navigate, be resilient, come up with the idea for the meeting that starts in 10 minutes, you know, not snap at the kids again. If you don't do something like I'm about to describe, it's almost impossible to reach those creative and mindful and patient states that you're wanting from yourself because your body's just not going to give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, here they are. Connect, which is take a breath, feel your body, feel the chair supporting you, feel the floor under your feet, feel your clothes against your body. Remember you have a body. Connect with that energy. 10 seconds. Inquire. Ask yourself a mindful question. We've been talking about some of them today. What would love do was the one I was going to ask at Christmas. I'm going to ask at Christmas. A really, really practical one is, what's the best use of my time and energy right now? Mm-hmm. You're trying to decide between all those conflicting things. And then listen. See what bubbles up. Don't dismiss it immediately. We're getting information from our heart and our intuition all the time, and we're dismissing it instantly. Not practical. Don't have time. And that keeps that hyper arousal going. Mm-hmm. And then allow yourself, as I just said, to listen. And then do something with what you hear. Even if it's just, you know what I just need to do is take another breath. I need to go to the bathroom and take 30 seconds to actually go to the bathroom because I actually really have to. Right? Who listening goes through the day going, I'll just answer one more email before I get that drink of water or go to
right.
the bathroom. Right? So life organizing begins to help us at that very minuscule level, and that quickly can snowball into more and more of that inner spaciousness and resiliency. And that inner spaciousness and resiliency is what we most need in these times we're living in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, it's funny because there's this another book that I read was by Buddha, Lama Surya Das. It's called Buddha Standard Time.
I love that book.
It's a fantastic book. And one of the things that I started doing as a result of reading that book, and I think your 5-step process is just right on, is taking, and what I've started doing is taking the times that I started dreading, like picking up the kids, which is a 25-minute drive back and forth full of stoplights, mm-hmm. all the way from my house over to the kids' school. There's like probably 20 stoplights. It's just infuriating. And the highway's worse. So what I do is I just take those 20 stoplights. I'm exaggerating. It's probably 10. But I take those 10 stoplights, and I use each of those as a contemplative moment to do those 5 steps. And they really don't take that long. They take as long as a stoplight would take to go through.
Mm-hmm.
And you take something that you would dread, sitting at a stoplight, and you make it an enjoyable experience, which is you get a twofer as well. You got yourself.
I love that. That is brilliant. And how many of us are allow ourselves to, and I'm raising my hand here, allow myself to be victimized. Mm-hmm. By modern life, and to become mm-hmm. a blamer and a whiner and a negative Nelly, right? Yeah. My husband and I are constantly working on that with each other, with as much love as we can bear. Like, oh, honey, you're doing it again, right? Mm-hmm. You're going there instead of choosing. I mean, what you're talking about is mindfully choosing. That's the biggest idea in the whole book. It's the biggest idea we can have in our lives.
Mm. Now, we talk about some questions that you ask during Christmas and during the holiday season. How about daily? Are there certain questions that, you know, to kind of, that you bring in every day and ask yourself before the morning or the day begins or as the morning closes? Or as the day closes, excuse me.
Right, as the day closes, the morning closes, the afternoon. what do I really want is a question I've been working with for years. It's very hard for me to navigate my life by what I want. I'm wired to serve, and mm-hmm. that's a wonderful thing, but it's also a way to hijack your own dreams and desires and to become a martyr. And so I'm always asking, what do I really want? Like, even in minuscule moments, we went to a wine tasting party Saturday night, and we were invited to taste white wines and red wines. Red wine makes me sick, even those little tastes I was going to have. And halfway through, I'm like, oh, my God, I'm doing it because I think I have to.
No.
What do I really want? And so often when I work with women on retreat and coaching, this question makes them angry. Well, I can't have what I want. It's like, well, how do you know if you're not even asking yourself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when I ask that same question with coaching, the question that I usually get is, how do I know what I want? I don't really know what I want, right? Which is something we, as women, I think, as givers, we forget to even know what it means to know what you want. So almost practicing it daily. But, you know, and it probably was hard for you initially, too. So what were some of the tips that you can offer folks who say, I don't even know how I know what I want?
That is the smokescreen of fear. This is what I've learned. The confusion, I don't know. It's a story that we tell ourselves because we're afraid to know. So I practice having so much compassion for that fear when it arises, whether it's, I can feel it, I can tap into it right now, and I start to feel nervous. So developing that awareness, this is a smokescreen I'm putting up because I'm afraid to know what I want. And I may spend months or years there, and it'll come in little, it also, what you want comes in like goldfish or carp under deep water, right? A quick little flicker. It doesn't come in with an angel trying, you know, hello, this is what you want. It's not Moses with a, you know, burning
right.
bush.
Yes. Yeah.
I want to get up and stretch. Oh, but I can't. I have to. But so we start to trust those little flickers. And then we little by little, I have an art table behind my desk. And I often get little flickers of, I just want to get up and draw for a little bit. Oh, you can't. You have to finish this. But if I do, I might find 2 minutes of that, and suddenly I have an idea for the blog post, or I'm more present for my next client. But it's those little – so it's trusting the flickers.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I had one of those flickers not so long ago where I thought, well, I really should be doing this. I'm like, no, but what do you really want to do? And I thought, you know, I want to go over to the bookstore. And when I did, I was blessed with finding these incredible books that just inspired me for weeks. So it's one of those things that you just don't know, but – and I think that when you actually do what you want, little magic happens. That's the good news, right? When
it
you
is.
Actually do tune into those little desires, you know, there'll be a little surprise. So there'll be a surprise along the way, because I think the universe wants us to do what we really want to do. And so the first couple times when we follow that, little magical things happen. I mean, no elves or anything or unicorns, but magical kind of things.
The other thing that happens is we follow something we think we want, and we do it, and we're not fulfilled, and we learn that way too.
Yeah.
So don't judge yourself if you think what you really want is to sit down and watch 6 hours of Breaking Bad and, you know, eat an entire pint of ice cream. And at the end of that, you're like, oh, I feel awful. I can't trust myself. Oh, No, you just learned that maybe there's a deeper impulse underneath that you need to wait for. Maybe what you've learned is what you really need to do is have that uncomfortable conversation with your best friend that you've been putting off for 3 months. I'm mm-hmm. busting myself on this. mm-hmm. And you're covering it up, right? Covering it up with what I call shadow comforts in the book. Yeah.
The whole idea of whenever I'm watching too much TV or I'm eating usually bad things, I think it is. It's actually a strategy to cope with something that you're not really coping with, right? Mm-hmm. And so even that, I think it's a great reminder that there's knowledge when you're doing things that you end up kind of feeling regretful for. There's still actually knowledge in that.
And there's knowledge in everything if we're willing to bear it with compassion.
Yeah, and I think actually, imagine using your 5 steps, right? I just mm-hmm. ate ice cream. Connect. I feel like crap. Inquire. Thanks. Why did I eat that ice cream?
Right. What was I looking for? What was I wanting?
Yeah. Listen to your body. What is it saying at that moment? You know what? I'm actually eating this ice cream because I feel bad about an interaction I had with my friend. And then allow you to just feel bad, right? Instead of kind of running away from the feeling of badness, just, okay, I do feel bad. I'm going to honor and recognize that I'm feeling bad. And now I will take action, call my friend up and apologize. You know?
Exactly. Beautiful. And there's so much that when we encounter ourselves with compassion and awareness, there is room for it all. It's when we're judging and pushing parts of ourselves away. Ooh, it's not okay that I did that. Oh, I'm so bad. Oh, now I'm fat and bloated. Oh, I'm a bad person. That's when we get more and more away from ourselves. And then we go into the doing and the busyness. And let me make up for it by, you know, hand sewing every Christmas present.
Okay, we have Jennifer Lawden, author of several best-selling books, talking about her newest book, The Life Organizer. And up ahead, we're going to be talking about one of the blog posts. She has a wonderful blog post. And one of the most popular was the idea of taking the hero's journey, which she called Shiro's. Is that how do you pronounce it? Shiro?
Shiro.
Shiro's journey during the next year. So we're going to talk a little bit about what that means and how you can take your hero's journey next year. We'll be right back.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Now back to Fire It Up with CJ. Be a force for good. And Fire It Up with CJ. Log on fireitupwithcj.com and call CJ now.
248-545-7685.
On CBS Radio's The Sky. Sky.
Welcome back to Fire It Up with CJ. Today we have guest Jennifer Lawden sharing her book, The Life Organizer, with CJ and I. If you'd like more information on this book, CJ is going to give us how to purchase the book or how to find the website for our guest. I'm going to leave that up to her since I don't have it. You like how I did that, CJ?
Yeah, perfect.
But CJ's website is fireitupwithcj.com, and you can find more information on our guest there, her bio and how to reach her. But I'm going to let CJ give that information out.
Hey, welcome back to the Fire It Up with CJ show. I'm CJ Liu, and happy holidays, everybody. So we are going to be talking about Jennifer Lawden's book, The Life Organizer, and you can find Jennifer Lawden at her name, JennifrLawden.com. And one of the things that you will find there is a beautiful set of blog posts, and they're just little juicy, fun ways for you to continue having a heart-based life and get inspired during the year. And one of the blog posts that she wrote about was living the hero's journey and taking that same journey yourself, which is finding the hero within yourself, deciding to answer the call to find your path and to travel that journey. And just like the movies, you'll find that life can be an incredible adventure filled with unknown challenges, magic, and excitement. So we're going to be talking about taking the hero's journey. So welcome back, Jennifer.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us a little bit about your hero's journey, and so that folks can learn about the idea generally. What was your call to adventure that led you to your journey?
Oh, God, there's been so many, but really the first one that started this last 23 years of work, so the work of my adult life, which is writing 6 books and coaching thousands of women and speaking, leading retreats, was in a moment of great surrender, and I was deeply unhappy and deeply stuck. I was trying to be a screenwriter in Los Angeles. I was in my mid-20s, and I was so unhappy, and my life just kept getting smaller and smaller. And during that time, I would get that kind of guidance that we all get from our inner wisdom, and it would say, you need to quit writing for a while. You need to do some things to nurture yourself, and why don't you go work in a bookstore for money? You love books, and you love gardening. Go work in a garden store for a while. And I would say, yeah, I'll slow down. I'll listen to you when I'm successful. Right. I had a goal in mind, and I just kept getting more and more stuck until I couldn't write at all. And I had a screenplay due and I couldn't turn it in, and had a skiing accident. I couldn't walk. I lived up 42 stairs and just went on and on and on. And finally, one day I really, really surrendered. And like, you know, when you don't even make any more deals in the back of your head.
That's when you knew you surrender.
Yeah, you're like, okay, this is it. I give up. I'm just going to give up on writing. And in that moment, the title for my first book, The Woman's Comfort Book, popped into my head as clearly as if you said it to me now. And y'all, I didn't write self-help books. I didn't know about self-help books. I was in therapy and that was about it, right? I was so far from that world. So it was really, really bizarre to have that title pop in my head. And it became a grail that I followed. And I think this is the way that our calls happen. And they happen over and over again. It's not a one-time only thing in our lives. We're called to the hero or the shero's journey over and over again if we listen. Mm-hmm. And sometimes those calls are very small. They're a call to reach out to a friend. They're a call to take up painting for fun. Sometimes they're very big, like write a book, go back to school, ask that guy out.
You know what's so interesting is I think here's my educated guess on what happened is you weren't answering the small little, you know, the small call. It was like, come on, quit writing these screenplays. And then, you know, you had actually a skiing accident and you couldn't write. And so the world actually will send you challenges or inspirations to know that you're on your path. So, you know, when you weren't on your path, you had, you know, these challenges that occurred, you know, you're hobbling up your steps. And then what happened when you started following path? Because generally what happens is that things doors seem to fling wide open. Is that what happened to you when you actually started following your path?
Well, my experience is doors open and then we close them. So yes, I became very interested in what this title meant, but I also was still very attached to wanting to be a successful screenwriter. So I spent the next 2 years exploring the idea and going back to screenwriting and doing both. And I really want to point this out for everyone listening, because I think the story can be from movies, from TV, from reality TV shows. You follow your path and the door is open. And, you know, from my experiences, the door opens, I close it, I pretend it didn't open, I'm scared to go through the door. And then eventually I did. And but here's another part of the story that's really important. I wrote that book proposal like I thought I should if I was a PhD. I was a 26-year-old struggling screenwriter. I was curious about what comfort was, but I thought I had no business writing a self-help book. I didn't trust myself, which is a huge angle of all my work and definitely a big part of the Life Organizer book. So I wrote it as my pretend PhD, and everybody turned it down. I went back to the original idea that I sketched out on a piece of notebook paper, and I wrote that. I wrote from my heart. I wrote from my experience. I wrote from the research that I was starting to do, the women I was talking to. What do you do to take care of yourself? Why is it hard to take care of ourselves? Why is it such a big deal? I wrote that book, and two big publishers wanted to publish, and it's gone on to sell hundreds of thousands of copies. So the big lesson for me in there was trust your voice, trust the creative impulse, right?
Yes, when you actually opened up to your heart and trusted yourself, then all the doors flung open. And you actually weren't closing the doors, then all the doors flung open.
I did occasionally kind of go, ooh, this is too much fun. This is too easy.
So when you actually, and you've been continuing, I mean, that was the beginning of it, and you've been continuing that journey. I mean, if you were to kind of look over your 23 years of being on this journey, what would you say were the highest highs and the lowest lows, and what kind of advice would you give to folks when they're at that place?
the highest highs are every time I saw my work connect and help somebody and I received that back. Mm. I'm thinking of a story, 3 or 4 years ago, I met somebody where maybe I was speaking someplace or leading a retreat, and she told me, this is before my mom had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and she told me about her mother's descent into Alzheimer's and how she had loved the Woman's Comfort Book, my first book, and it became her, like her talisman that she carried with her until it just became a big ball of sodden paper. But she wouldn't let it go. And she slept with it and she carried it everywhere.
Oh,
and
wow.
So when I can let stories like that in, those are the highest highs. They don't have anything to do with me personally, but feeling part of the whole, that you're nurturing people towards being at peace with themselves, accepting themselves on their own skin. And the lowest lows are every time I didn't listen to myself. Every time I try to be somebody that I think I should be. It's the same story, right? We all have the same patterns for our whole life. So it's not a pretend PhD anymore, but it's, oh, I should, I don't know. I'm sure I'll think of something I should be in.
But anything almost like with a, it's almost anything with a should is almost something that is should not.
For me, that's very true.
Or even if I think maybe it's fair to say, if you feel like you should, it's using your five steps and figuring out, like, who says you should? Why should you, get, connect, inquire, listen, and now allow the should and figure out if you really need to or not. Interesting. Okay, so now you're now starting your, I don't know what year you are on your 23 years, but you're starting the next calendar year. What are your thoughts about, starting your journey for the next year?
Oh gosh, I want to enjoy my work and my life as much as possible. My office is in the house, but it's separate. It's a few steps away from the house over the garage. There's a separate building. And I want to walk up here every morning going, yeah, I'm excited about this, whatever I'm doing today. And I want to walk down those stairs at the end of the afternoon and go, yeah, I stayed on my own side. I was kind to myself and I gave it my best. And I didn't go into that should leaving myself zone. That's my goal for 2014. How can I truly show up as myself and give it and have fun giving it, right? Mm-hmm. And not get into that, oh, this is what I should do to be successful.
Right. Oh, what's so fabulous about your energy is that your energy in this interview is exactly exuding where you want to be, right? It's an excitement. It's positive. It's self-reflecting. It's self-effacing. It's really wonderful qualities. I really appreciate, I really appreciate you and the way that you're approaching stuff. I think your life organizer is working. It's working.
Because that's what you do. You want to walk your talk. There's nothing worse as a teacher or a writer to be teaching somebody else something and have this hollow feeling inside that you're not doing it
absolutely,
for yourself.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, folks, we're talking to Jennifer Lawden about a blog post that she has on her website, www.jenniferlawden.com. It's Lawden, you spell as L-O-U-D-E-N, so jenniferlawden.com. And in the next segment, we're going to be talking about some of the challenging behaviors that we have that interfere. They're the ones when we actually, I think you described it aptly, as when we actually close the door on ourselves. We open the doors and then we close the doors on ourselves, like overdoing, being perfectionist, people-pleasing. We're going to try to hit as many of those challenging behaviors as we can. So to get more shows like this on self-awareness, make sure to go and subscribe to www.firedupwithcj.com. We'll be right back.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Now back to Fire It Up with CJ. Be a force for good. And fire it up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com. And call CJ now.
248-545-7685.
Leave. On CBS Radio's The Sky. The Sky.
Welcome back to Fire It Up with CJ. My name is Cassandra, and I'm here with CBS Sky Radio. We're here every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, so please join us. Our guest today is Jennifer Lawden. She is the author of The Life Organizer, And I'm going to go right back to CJ and Jennifer.
Back. So welcome back and happy holidays, everyone. We are going to be trying to tackle a trilogy of challenges that I think all folks struggle with. One is overdoing. The other is perfectionism and people-pleasing. And Jennifer wanted to share some of her ideas, or she has many ideas in these areas, so I thought she could share some of them for us to start our New Year's right. All right, welcome back, Jennifer.
Thank you.
So let's start with overdoing. What are some tips that you've learned throughout your time, your 23-year journey, on how we can stop overdoing?
Well, one of my favorite ones is in the Life Organizer towards the end of the book, and it's where I talk about satisfaction and enoughness. Mm-hmm. It's kind of hardwired into our brains to not feel like we are enough. We really have to practice and teach ourselves from a neurological standpoint and from a consciousness standpoint what is enough. And so one of the most powerful ideas when it comes to overdoing is to begin to practice naming for yourself in very specific ways what is enough. So what is enough for Christmas gifts? Would you know it if you saw it? Are you willing to name it? We're so afraid to say, this is enough for me, and I will be satisfied with it even if I don't feel satisfied. Don't go with your feelings on this, because they're conditioned to go, more, more, I should do more. Instead, go with your facts. What is really enough for me to buy from my family? Beginning to practice that, and it can be so painful and hard, but so powerful.
And you know what? This is a really good segue to perfectionism, because I think perfectionism is when we're saying that what we're doing is not enough, right? Mm-hmm. This is not enough. I need to be doing more. I have to achieve some type of standard that's higher. I mean, how have you been able to scale back on perfectionism, which I know you've self-proclaimed as an issue that you have?
Yes, and I've seen its crippling effect in so many clients' lives and in my daughter's life. She's 19, and she's really starting to have awareness about it, which is great. Mm-hmm. So perfectionism is we're constantly raising the bar on ourselves. We never allow ourselves to arrive somewhere and declare it enough. Mm-hmm. And if we do this, we're actually conditioning ourselves to be unhappy, to be grasping, and we're going away from everything the wisdom traditions of all cultures and time teach us. All the wisdom traditions knew that we're hardwired to want more and to never be satisfied. And we have to teach ourselves to be satisfied. So perfectionism is teaching ourselves the opposite, right? Mm-hmm. If I could just do a little bit better. So it's declaring for yourself ahead of time, this is what well-wrapped packages in my house look like, for example. Mm-hmm. And it's learning to be with the discomfort of what you've declared is enough versus what you think is enough, and not let that discomfort sway you.
You know, it's funny there. I remember being introduced to the idea of good enough is good enough. And it was the weirdest thing, because I'm like, well, good enough isn't good enough. You know, and it's one of those things, is good enough is good enough. And actually, I think that's incredible advice, to be able to release and say, you know what, it's okay, it's fine. And will that extra, and I actually find this in writing, which I don't know, do you find that as well, where you're writing, you think, okay, I need to work on this one more time, and really, does that, you know, 15 hour or, you know, 1 hour, 15 minutes, whatever, is it really going to make it that much better?
Right.
I mean, how do you stop yourself when you're there, because, you know, the tendency is there.
Yes, you have to decide ahead of time. So you have to say, okay, so you have to set, I call them conditions of enoughness.
Okay.
You have to decide what are those conditions. And one of them is, and they're factual. They're not based on feeling. So I will have someone else read this piece after I've worked on it for, say it's a blog post for an hour. I'll give this blog post an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. I have a container of time. Mm-hmm. One of the ways that perfectionism gets fed is we don't give ourselves any limits that have to do with our humanity. We pretend we are robots who can sit at the computer when we really have to go to the bathroom and it's not going to do damage to us. We pretend we don't have a human body and human energy. So I give things a time limit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's funny. I did that at work once, where I was working. I started working part-time. Well, it's from 70 hours, whatever, to 20, then to 10, and then at one point I was working only 8 hours doing the same job. At a certain point I just thought, well, I can't do the same level that I used to do. And I literally stopped, you know, I said, well, I only have an hour here, so I have to have this business plan done in an hour. Yes. So, which is insane,
so
right?
You experienced it.
And yeah.
The what's really important is we give ourselves these limits, whatever they are. Maybe it's I'm going to exercise a half an hour three times a week. Mm-hmm. One of the ways that I see people really wrecking their lives through perfection is they're always raising the bar so high they do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They never start writing. They never start exercising. They never start having a healthy breakfast because it has to be totally vegan and completely balanced with carbohydrates and protein. And forget it, I'll just have a donut.
I love it. Okay. The last thing I promise folks is people pleasing. So how have you actually worked with your people pleasing? I know you say no now to red wine, hopefully. what else do you do for checking your tendency to people please?
I love to use the 5-step process with the question, is this how I choose to spend my time and energy? Because it puts the focus back on that desire. What do I desire? So I've got to get me back into the equation. Because what literally happens for me when I'm people pleasing is I have no connection to myself. I'm out there with them. My energy is gone and I'm trying to figure out without them even having to say what they want or what they need and give it to them. And there's therefore no connection between the two of us, and there's no connection to myself. So
right.
I was in a dance class this Saturday, and we had to stay connected to ourselves while we were dancing with someone else. Mm. And it was fascinating because it was like, oh, how do I stay in my own body and my own energy while I'm connected to this other person? And so a question is another way to do this. Oh, what do I choose here? And if I had asked myself
real time, though, how do you do it real time? So someone's like, oh, would you actually, you know, I'd love to actually have you chair the benefit that's coming then, and you know, and how to at that moment, or can you at the moment, or do you say, oh, let me, you know, get back to you on that?
Let me get back to you is the best question in the English language. No kidding, because we need to give ourselves breathing room. And one of the ways we leave ourselves and one of the ways we don't practice basic self-care is we assume that their agenda and their timeline is more important than ours.
Mm-hmm.
It's default. So just beginning to question that gives you choice back. Oh, why do I think I have to say yes to this person before I check in with myself? Just question that thought.
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually, I think actually taking a break so you can step back and then ask those 5 questions, I think is brilliant, brilliant. Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts about people pleasing? I mean, so it's basically asking yourself the question, taking a break from that person who asked of you something. But there's sometimes when you can't say, like, can I get back to you? You know, where you say, how about another glass of red wine? I just got this special wine. It's from my father's vineyard. I'd love for you to try it. You know, you're thinking, oh. It means so much to them.
Here's the best idea in life. It's certainly not mine. Begin again. So if I take the wine because I've forgotten that I don't like red wine and it makes me sick and I'll be so depressed the next day and I'll think the world is going to be ending because I feel so bad. And I've forgotten that I drank half the wine because I was people pleasing and I remember I can put the wine down then.
Mm.
And I can forgive myself and I can begin again to honor what I need and what I want.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant, brilliant. And I think actually that's, you know what, one of the things, one of the guests, I think Miguel Ruiz said, is he said, you know, I actually start the new year as a brand new baby. And I think this is my opportunity. I'm reborn again. So if I were to actually start the new year and think, I'm a brand new baby, I'm born again, how wonderful would that be? And what I'm hearing you is, how wonderful would that be if every moment you were a baby?
You watched the 6 hours of Breaking Bad and ate the ice cream. Begin again.
Yeah, exactly. This is the new year of a brand new baby. I'm forgetting everything. Everything is erased. My life is new. I love it. I think it's a perfect way to begin your new year is to realize that new beginnings are of your choice. I love the again, begin again. All right, so we have Jennifer Lauden. Make sure to check out her blog at jenniferlauden.com, Lauden.com is how you can spell her last name. And make sure to check out her beautiful book, Life Organizer, How to Live a Heart-Based Life. Happy New Year's, everyone. Thank you so much for being with us, Jennifer.
Oh, it was a pleasure.
All right. Thank you, Cassandra. And thank you, everyone, for listening. And on January 8th, we are going to be talking to Don Miguel Ruiz Jr. about his new book, 5 Levels of Attachment, I think it's called. So have a great year, everyone.